This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up off your feet.
Hello, welcome to Seagull Social Season 4, Episode 22. What a win, boys. What a win. Although we did try our best to throw it away at the end. But we'll talk about all of the good, bad, and definitely the ugly towards the end of it. But we're joined with Adam as well today, by the way, because Ben... I don't actually know where Ben is, Maz, do you? I didn't really get the reason.
He's working today.
He's working. Okay, cool. Well, that's the excuse this time. He's not hungover this time for the comments last week. But Maz, how are you, mate? It's good to have you back on.
Thanks, mate. Oh, yeah, no, very good, very good. Buzzing. What a game. What an incredible game to go to. It was just amazing. Like you said, until the last 10, 15 minutes in typical Brighton fashion, we made it very nervy for ourselves. I don't think there's any other team that can go 4-0 up and then make themselves nervous for the last 10 minutes. Yeah. It was insane. But no, in general, I'm very well. Thank you. You had a great Christmas. How's your Christmas been? Everyone, Christmas been good?
I completely forgot.
Yeah, mate, Christmas
good. That's
Christmas
really bad, isn't it?
Christmas good. Made all the better by last night as well. So, no complaints, yeah. Really.
Mm. No, true. Yeah, to be fair, Brian, my Christmas was all right. Everyone's been unwell, so that's what it's been with us. No one gets ill in my family. To be fair, we tend to do all right, and then the last month we've all just been knocked out. So this Christmas has just been a bit of a. You've been unwell, so you know next week you're going to be unwell.
Ward, yeah.
And then literally. So then everyone's all right now. So then we go and beat Spurs. So we're back on track, mate. We're back on track up the 2024. Anyway, we'll talk about. Tottenham last night we'll talk about Jack Hinchwood first and foremost because him and James Milner, mate, were absolutely rampant on either side, weren't they? Who would have thought we'd be saying that James Milner as well as our inverted winger? The guy doesn't even know what inverted means. But Adam, what a game for James Milner and Jack Hinchwood on either side for that first half particularly.
Oh, unbelievable. And I think that whole first half, I think loads of people were saying it, you guys were probably saying it as well, you know, probably one of the best halves of football, you know, definitely this season, you know, for a long, long time. I think I've seen a quality in that first half since kind of sometime last season. And you think about it with the context of the game, all the talk, no Natoma, no Adingra, you know, it's crisis for, you know, injury crisis at Brighton, and, you know, Tottenham were the same. But I don't know, I kind of went into it with I felt slightly confident. I was looking at the kind of two centre halves that were playing for Tottenham, you know, not natural centre halves. And I was kind of feeling quite confident about it. And then as soon as we started the game, it was just unbelievable. As you say, like, I was trying to work it out in the first 5 minutes. I thought we were playing a diamond in midfield because Milner was sort of like, we had like, it was a bit weird. But anyway, I think it turns out they were kind of playing wing backs, I guess. Milner just like so high and wide for that time in that first half, like pinning their right back up. I was thinking like, what the hell is going on here? It was unbelievable. And like, you know, we've seen in recent weeks how good Jack Hinchwood's been. And, another unbelievable performance from him. That kind of set the tone, I think, for what was a really good first half and then an amazing game all round, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maz, Hinchwood's goal. Mate, if you want to make a goal for a local boy to score against a big six club, it has to be a moment where he's just got a welly it, isn't it? It's straight into the roof of the net. It comes across to him. It's great skill, by the way, from João Pedro. Probably his best game for us last night. But yeah, mate, talk to me about that Hinch goal, because that was poetry in motion, wasn't it?
Yeah, just quickly, a great point you made, actually. I think João Pedro for that goal was so integral. Like, his fast feet, the way he just, yeah, created that opportunity for Hinchelwood was fantastic. And then, yeah, the goal itself, it was sort of one of those, like, Abbott moments, you know, John Smith Abbott. But no, it was a great strike, absolutely wellied it. Yeah, just, you know, I think it was one of those ones where it's just like he thought, right, I'm just going to connect with it as best as I can, and hope that, you know, it's a clean connection, which, yeah, it was one of the cleanest connections he probably could have wished for. And yeah, and do you know what? It was the pace of it, obviously, just Vicario had no chance. And Vicario made a couple of good saves, to be fair to him. But yeah, he stood no chance with that Hinchwood strike. And yeah, I was so happy for Hinchwood because he had a fantastic game. He locked up Sun like I've not seen before. I think Sun was absolutely dormant. I don't think he
did nothing.
You know, he did nothing, yeah. And I thought that was a big props to Hinchwood because he kept him so quiet. And then, yeah, to also finish with a goal, I was so happy for him. And, yeah, he's just coming on leaps and bounds. I think I saw someone say he might be a better prospect than Ferguson, but whisper it quietly. So, I'll leave that for you guys to ponder that one. But, no, he's I love his development and hopefully he just gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah, just on the point there, Maz, on Hinchwood's sort of talent. Obviously, he's top, isn't he, by far? But, I mean, he's 18 years old. And Adam, there's one thing I've really noticed about him. He knows where the goal is in terms of not just the goals he's scored now, but he always seems to have a couple of headers on target and he's had a couple of moments now. And he seems to be quite an all-rounder. I mean, he's been playing right back, hasn't he, obviously? Completely. We'd want him in midfield where he's supposed to be, but when he's gone in midfield, he's looked good. When he's at right back, he's very competent. He's played against the world-class winger in Son. So, I mean, it's not unreasonable. Yeah. I'm not a slight on Ferguson. This isn't even a comparison to Ferguson. But to talk about him in the same sort of breath as Ferguson is completely fair, isn't it?
Completely. And I think, you know, he's got that knack that so many midfielders, you know, it's like the knack that all midfielders want of like knowing when to time your runs into the box and when to appear. And, you know, he'll be playing right back. You saw it in the Crystal Palace game. You saw it in the Brentford game. He just loves getting forward. He loves getting forward. If he's playing right back, he'll drift into midfield. And he'll always be, if there's a cross coming in from the left or the right, he will be making that bursting run into the box. And we saw that with, you know, João Pedro when he was kind of had the ball at his feet and you could tell none of the defenders kind of wanted to tackle him because they didn't want to give him a pen away. So they left him to have the ball and then it left so much space for Jack Hinchwood who just burst in. And yeah, I think it's interesting with him because he's, you know, I think when you're that good as a footballer and you can just tell he's a quality footballer, he can take the ball anywhere, receive it, pass it under any kind of pressurised situation when we're playing out from the back, when we're being pressed, particularly last night. You know, he's obviously just got this supreme confidence in his ability to just pass the football. And I think when you've got a talent like that, you can sort of play anywhere. He's playing right back at the moment. He'll definitely be able to play in centre midfield for us. And it's nice to see a midfielder who scores goals, as I say, because, you know, not that we've been missing that, but kind of it's such a useful spark to have in your team. And I was just thinking, like, when COVID started, he was like, what, 14, 15? It's just like mad to think he's now like scoring in the Premier
that's
League.
Insane.
It's like, yeah, just that's weird. Weird. But that's yeah, weird. Baller.
Well, you've got a belly goal out in Real Madrid, but we've got Hinchel goal here, so that's all I'm saying. We'll keep the comparisons on the low profile for now. Props to Jack Hinchwood. Great performance again. But yeah, just the man we mentioned beforehand, João Pedro. Best performance I think I've seen from him. Him and James Milner, as I say, were all over the place, mate. I couldn't decide who was man of the match. As you say, Adam, that first half was, yeah, the only one I could really think of was Liverpool last season. Also Wolves. I think we went up like 4-0, wasn't it, in the first half. But to play against Tottenham, a team that they are, I know they had a couple of injuries at centre-back, but we still had to go there and do a job on them. And we don't tend to do that at the moment. So to see that was good. But João Pedro, Maz, he not that he really struggled to come into, I think he did well in the pre-season, but he probably didn't have the all-round game maybe as quickly as he would have liked to here. But I think yesterday was complete proof that he can do that. His running was immense. Pretty much covered every blade of grass, didn't he? So, talk to me about João Pedro in terms of everything. I mean, his all-round game's just improving, isn't it, every week?
Oh, yeah, he was fantastic yesterday. I thought by far his best performance. And we saw, I love the way he's running the channels. And I think we saw his best performance out on that left-hand side. And, you know, we've always said on this podcast, like, is he an out-and-out sort of striker, a number nine, so to speak? I just don't think that's his best position. I think that proved it yesterday by him playing out wide and having Danny Welbeck alongside him. He just looks so much better. And I think he gave him that freedom as well, just to be the sort of true João Pedro that we all know how great he can be. mate, do you know what? King Welbeck, mate. I've always loved him, always said how good he was. But I think having that focal figure in Welbeck up top really complimented João Pedro and gave him that freedom and those runs behind him. He just kept, like, you know, he just was running all day long, all night long even. And he's just creating, I think his runs was then opening opportunities for others to then do their thing. And yeah, I just loved his work rate. You could tell he's fired up as well. You saw the little incident with Lo Celso as he came off. Even prior to that, he was having a few little, you know, little battles with other players. Yeah. So it was great to see him fired up. And he looked like he just really wanted to play well. And yeah, like we mentioned, the assist for Hinshelwood, obviously his penalty, he just played really, really well. And I think I'd much prefer him out wide rather than centrally, I think.
Yeah, it's fair. He's gotten a lot better at them sort of pressing runs now. I think he really pushes the back four back. I think he really pinned their two centre-backs quite a lot of times yesterday, which is one thing that maybe he didn't do enough. Yeah, those runs in behind. Yeah, then runs in behind and also just the way he sort of puts the pressure on him. I mean, it's something that we haven't really had that much. I mean, Mope did it on his day, but it was too irregular, really. But if João Pedro can do that every other week, then we've got a great player on our hands. And as you say, the versatility always helps. But his penalty taking, mate, he's got 100% record still. That's for us. And I think he's also got 100% record in Watford. So you can correct me if I'm wrong there, but I'm fairly certain of it. But regardless of if it's a 95% at Watford or whatever it was, I don't even know how he does it. He's only 21, let's remember. And he seems to clear his head like anything, doesn't he, Adam? I mean, it's a great skill to have for us because we haven't had that confident penalty taker apart from Alexis.
Yeah, mate. And like, you know, he's got that, it's like the Matt Letizia thing of like, you wait until the keeper moves and then you just knock it in the other corner and he's just so cool with it every single time. And I think, as you say, because like, I remember that era when we had like Morpé on pens and stuff and it was just like, it was so hairy and like we kept missing pens and there was that Pascal Gross miss, I think, was it in that West Brom game? It was just like every game, like having a penalty, it felt like a bit of a curse, to be honest. So the fact we've now got João Pedro, who can literally just like bang the pens, is so good. One thing I want to say about João Pedro as well is like, I think when he's playing in that when he's playing against like two centre halves, I think we saw it particularly last night. You know, I was sitting in the West lower, kind of watching him in that second half. And when Spurs are playing that high line and the ball's getting knocked in behind, he'll make that darting run. And he's got that kind of, I think what he's beginning to add to his game is that kind of, is what Glenn Murray had a little bit, understanding the dark arts of playing sort of centre forward a bit, the kind of elbow into the chest of the defender before the ball comes in, kind of being able to make a bit of space for himself. I think he's really learning that a little bit more now. And he just looks a really accomplished kind of player against like physical centre backs and stuff, and I was really impressed with that as well. I think he's got a lot of strings to his bow now.
Yeah, I agree. He's good at that sort of drop back centre forward player. Yeah. To be fair, as well, it's this good all round skill to have. I think he's only going to get better. I was a bit worried about De Zerbi's comments at full time when he said that we'll struggle to keep hold of him for another year. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that was. I didn't know what to take of that, to be fair. In fact, I'll get your honest reaction as well on that, because is he saying that there is a club already interested in him, or is it just he's a good player and he's going to be talked about?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I did find that comment a bit weird, like we can only hold on to him for a year or something like that. Like, yeah, it was just a bit of a strange thing to say, especially after such a great win. And I know you're trying to, I think what he was trying to do was emphasise how good of a player he is. But I think it can definitely be misconstrued as to not be like that. Like, I think Fabrizio ran with it and put like eyes emojis. I saw the reporter who broke the quote as well. He put like eyes emoji as well. Like, I think a lot of the journalists took it as if like he's basically saying, is João Pedro on the market? Is he going to last, you know, that long at Brighton? Which, yeah, we don't like to see that, do we? We've seen it all happen with so many players in the past, you know, Cucurella, Caicedo, just recently. Yeah. And it's just frustrating as a fan, you know, you want to keep hold of all your best players. And as soon as they have, we said it, remember, when as soon as a Brighton player has, like, let's say 3 or 4 good games in a row, straight away, everyone's like, yeah, he's gone. See you later. Like, let's get him gone. And it's just so frustrating as a fan to see that. And I don't think De Zerbi's comments help that narrative. So my only thing I personally didn't like was the fact that he could have maybe just worded it again, maybe lost in translation, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
could have worded it differently. I don't know. I suppose he always gets them lost in translation, doesn't he? He tends to say something and then people tend to go and run off with stuff. I mean, I think it was when he said about Caicedo last season, wasn't he? He said, I've already forgotten Moises. And obviously he's not saying he's actually forgotten Moises. He's just saying that with the past is the past, you know what I mean? So I think we've moved on. Yeah. So sometimes I think he says things that seem quite abrupt, because one thing I've noticed, particularly at the press conferences, you say something to him and he takes sort of one bit of what you say and then runs with that rather than actually listen to the full question. So sometimes that's, you know, you could say, you know, João Pedro has been good this season, but how does he compare to 2 weeks ago? And he'll just say, yeah, João Pedro is good, but I have to say Edingra was great. And then you're like, okay, right. So that's where I think sometimes he can sort of go away from the translations, but hopefully that's all it was, because I really don't want to be losing João anytime soon.
All I was going to say, just with the João Pedro thing, it's like, you know, we sign him as what, like a 20-21 year old, like on a 4 or 5 year contract, like for £30 million. Like, the idea that we're going to let him go in the summer, or even like, let's say in next January, like, it's just not going to happen. I just, what offer would have to come in? Like, it would have to be unbelievable for Brighton to let him go. So I think that's just not going to happen.
Well, he probably got a 3 times it knowing us, haven't you? I mean, at least, because, you know, he's quite a rare breed. As we say, the characteristics he's got are good, but it, as well, the mentality that he's got is even better. So that in itself is worth so much money. As you say, we don't tend to spend 30 million, so you'd want 90 plus, wouldn't you? Because that's going to at least 3 times it. But anyway, that's just speculation. We'll see what happens, but I doubt it's anything to worry about ahead of January. Okay, well, actually, one thing I want to say about that second penalty, the first penalty, should I say, second goal, was how did it not get given in real time? And this is the frustration for me. Do you think it's, I don't know about you, Adam, does it feel like referees almost, and linesmen as well, just don't do their job as much, and they sort of rely on VAR a little bit to get the right decision, and they just sort of leave it, and that's how it is.
Completely. I reckon like that probably does happen. Like, if you know that you've got that safety net there, then you kind of feel like, if you're not 100% sure, because I suppose like if you give it, kind of the burden of proof then to kind of take the penalty away would have to be quite a lot. So kind of maybe it's a little bit better to be more cautious and not give it, but then kind of that is your job. You are there to referee the game, like see penalties and give them. I think it was weird with the ref last night. I got a bit, literally the Roy King quote. But yeah, like it annoyed me just because like the ref with the free kicks and stuff, booking Buonanotte, then he booked someone else. I can't remember who it was. And it was just the Spurs player did it, and he didn't care. It was just like so odd. But yeah, I think refs probably do rely on VAR too much. And, you know, maybe we got a bit lucky with the Lewis dunk. You know, lots of Spurs fans saying he should have seen red. I think maybe that is right. I haven't seen it back in kind of full speed, but yeah, I mean, it makes up for the calamity that was the game at you know, the Tottenham Stadium last season. So yeah. I don't think anyone can complain too much.
Karma's wonderful, mate. It really is. I mean, sometimes when it all comes back around, I think I saw a Spurs fan saying that they've got an agenda against him. If Lewis Dunk was wearing white, then he would have been sent off or whatever. And I was thinking, seriously, like, how can you even have the nerve to say that after last year? Honestly, it's mind-blowing. I mean, they got away with it for years with Kane. And now that guy is gone, it gives me that little bit more confidence that, you know, there's less cheating from that Spurs side. But, Mads, do you agree with that on the sort of giving things in real time thing. I just want to get your quick thoughts on it, really. Is it, do you think that referees are almost a bit cautious? I know we seem to bash them all the time, but we don't mean to, but they keep doing these crazy things.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think as well, with regards to referees, like Adam said, I think that safety net of them knowing that they can make a decision on the field and it will get rectified by VAR if they are wrong. And I think that's what I think a lot of them are sort of relying on. And yeah, some of the officiating is so suspect. And you think, for me, it's just the lack of consistency. There's just no consistency in what they do. Like Adam mentioned, you know, he'll give a yellow card and a free kick for one thing. And then it'll happen again and then won't give it the next time. And it's like, well, where's the consistency? Where's the, you know, yeah, just be consistent with what you're doing. And I think there needs to be a hard look at officiating in this country. I think there needs to be some kind of training program set up. There needs to be something has to happen, because I think at the moment it's at an all-time low and I just don't see where it's going to improve and how it's going to improve. You know, there has to be something done about it. Otherwise, we're just going to be sat here every game talking about bad decisions. So I think something needs to be done, definitely from sort of lower champ level upwards, because I know they sort of sometimes rotate and come down and up. So yeah, I think something needs to be done, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. At least we didn't get any terrible decisions our way like normal. I mean, I think Arsenal had one last night, didn't they, with that Socek goal, where it was miles out of play. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was so blatantly so far out of play.
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
Similar to Newcastle, that wasn't. Right?
Yeah, and then I think Forest had one last week where that guy got sent off. I think it was Bolly or something got sent off. There's always controversy every single week, and it just you always get confused as to what's going on. But anyway, we'll move on. Yeah, that first half was very encouraging. And to be honest with you, I think probably we could have gone in a little bit better off, and maybe we should have done. And that's probably one of those things that De Zerbi, being the perfectionist of the years, will say. We went in at 2-0 against one of the best teams in the league. Great, but we could have had 4 or 5. I think Welbeck had a good chance. I think there was quite a few good chances there, but João Pedro had a good chance. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I think we need to start killing teams quicker, maybe, just to make sure that they don't get them sort of last 10 minutes and we're worrying again. But second half, Spurs came back into it a little bit. They started quite well, to be fair to them. Was there any moments, Adam, apart from obviously the last 15, where you were worried they were going to come back, or did you just feel like it was our day?
I think at half time I was a bit unsure. I think we were all turning to ourselves, turning to the people around us, and kind of going like, you know, this should really be like 3-4-0. To be honest, you think back to that Milner shot, he had that shot hit the post. Van Hecker from a corner hit the post as well. Welbeck definitely should have scored.
Yeah,
and it did feel a bit like, you know, if Spurs could quite easily come back into this, get a goal, and it's suddenly quite hairy. I think when the second half started, it felt like they found a bit more rhythm. I think they got a bit more confidence, but I think any confidence they did have, I don't think was massively, like, they didn't suddenly start outplaying Brighton. I think they just got their foot in the game a bit more. And then the second that Estupiñán, you know, scored that unbelievable goal, then all of that momentum was just killed immediately, wasn't it? So, I think also with Tottenham, I think, like, you know, they play such a high line, and that's just going to play into Brighton's hands. We know that. We speak about this so many times. Like, Brighton struggle to break teams down who sit in a low block, make it really hard for them, you know, to play against. Teams that want to sit on the halfway line, like, it's just, you know, Brighton will play through that like butter, and, you know, like an eye through butter, you know. So I think I was never that kind of worried when the second half started, but I did just think we needed a couple more goals for a safety net, and good job we got them, I guess.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know how many goals Tottenham score, but as you say, that third one did put it out of sight. It was like an arrow from Purvis, and I didn't even think he could have been on the pitch at halftime, to be fair. I didn't think it was right time to bring him on, but obviously Igor maybe didn't have his best half, to be fair. But then what a strike that was. I mean, what a way to come back to the Amex and announce yourself back onto the stage by Purvis. I mean, Maz, that shot was perfect, wasn't it? And I was exactly the person, alongside with my dad, pretty much simultaneously shouting, "Don't shoot," before it goes straight into the back of the net. I mean, what a goal from Purvis Estupiñán, Maz.
Honestly, I was so lucky where I was sat. I was West Lower, literally two rows from the pitch. And honestly, the angle I had of that shot was just outrageous. The fact that, oh, sorry, 2 seconds.
God, scared the life.
Even Rufio's getting excited about the goal. even Rufio's rating the goal. Just like absolute dagger. Like just a technique on it. And I loved his celebration after, the fact he was going, I'm back. And it just, I think it showed how much it meant to him as well. And like, you know, he's obviously been frustrated with injuries and stuff like that. So I was so, so happy for him. And what a strike it was, just to be able to do it from that distance. And I think Igor was actually injured, because I turned around, I remember, because I was like, this is too early for Estupiñán to come on. And I turned around to my friends, I was like, Igor's definitely injured. Obviously, I didn't want it to be true, but I was like, there's no reason why he'd take Igor off. Because I disagree with you, Ryan. I don't think he was that bad. I thought he was all right. Obviously, I know Brennan Johnson did get in behind him a few times, which wasn't great.
It's more than giving the ball away a couple of times, and we know what Igor's like. He's a good player, obviously. I think I've just got high expectations of him. He is a great player, has been for us, but just thought maybe if there was a time where he comes off, maybe it was then. But yeah, apparently he is injured as well. So now we have no fit centre-backs going into, apart from Van Hekker, obviously, which is a whole other worry for West Ham, because Dunk's now out, Igor's out, and so is Buonanotte is out as well. So that just adds to the problems. We've got this great good performance and great win, but yeah, we're with less players. But yeah, that goal, I mean, I'm in the West Upper, as always, and I'm right on the halfway line where the commentary is. So I think in terms of popcorn seats, I mean, if you're going to get any tickets, season tickets particularly, I would highly recommend getting on that halfway line of the West Upper, because you're going to see some great performances up there. But yeah, just what a strike. I didn't think it was going in, to be fair. As soon as he hits it, it's one of them where you just think it's going to go in. But Adam, just moving on slightly on that. Go on.
Just quickly. I just want to say it has to be the second best goal I've ever seen live at the Amex. And of course, Julio Enciso takes the number one spot. Yeah, Julio Enciso, of course, the Puskás winning goal against Man City. It's got to be, for me, number one. Well,
with some respect on Yuri Skalak's name.
Yuri Skalak is up there. I'm interested to know, what is your top three? Ryan, we'll start with you. What's your top three goals at the Amex?
Oh, mate, you know what my brain's like. I'll have tons come up now, because there's different ones. I mean, are you talking just at the Amex? Yeah, we're not talking at... Or are we talking live?
Just the Amex, yeah. Just
at the Amex.
So at the Amex, yeah.
Okay, comes to me straight away. Live. Ryan Harley, 2011, that 35-yard free kick was magic, that was, against Peterborough. Yuri Skalak is impossible to ignore, QPR. Ali Reza, the overhead kick. Let's even think, there's so many.
We got to go like David Lopez against Palace. That was like... Was that
David Lopez? Palace. I missed that game though. My dad went with my cousin.
Oh right.
And I was gutted. I had to listen to it on the radio, so I didn't go to that one.
There was one against Man United. I think it was like 2018-19. And do you remember Murray? Sort of with the outside of his foot, kind of dinked
the chip.
It over
the
chip, mate.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. It was come across
was
from March, wasn't
that was
it?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
No, it was Murray. Yeah. Murray it was. Gross against Wolves as well, I think, is up there where he sort of hit it with that volley. Mate, you've opened up a can of worms.
Do we all agree, though, that the best disallowed goal at the Amex was definitely McAllister against Leicester?
And I went toilet
that,
and I missed it.
That has to be up.
I never do that, mate. I never do that ever in the game. And I missed that goal. I ran back out, and my dad like, fair, was like, that is the best goal ever. I've never seen anything like it. And I think he hit a free. Oh, that's it. Alexis free kick against Leicester afterwards. It was also up there. Yeah. What a goal that was.
Yeah, that was a great goal.
He would have had a hat trick.
But are we all in agreement that Nciso is definitely number one? I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, surely. I think Julio's number one just because of its City. The build up was so good. The moment as well. It got us Europa League. That's tough though. That's tough. I don't think Purvis gets number two for me. I think it's still in the ones. Maybe Purvis
in
is
hindsight,
top five.
Now that you've said. Yeah, now that you mentioned all the other ones, I will take that statement back. But I will lock in Nciso number one for me. And then, Estupiñán probably top five. Let us know in the comments what your top three is. We'd love to hear.
Yeah, we've had some good team goals as well. Like, that's worth noting. Like, we've had some, the solid one against Liverpool was so magic. And I think there's also, moments of goals. There's different types of goals that mean something. Like, the goals for
against Wigan.
It's
like the McAllister
penalty
against Man United at the end of last season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's moments, isn't it? So there's so many we could probably list off that come to mind. But Yuri Skalak always comes to mind. That volley, I think it was about 35 yards, smacked it, didn't he? Magic goals. Some good memories, eh? We've lived a pretty good life the last 10 years as Brighton fans, let's face it. We've seen some good moments at the Amex. Okay, cool. So we'll just get on to the last sort of chaos now, isn't it, really? We've gone from absolute... A beautiful football. We get the fourth goal as well, actually. João Pedro, again, what a surprise, scores from another penalty. Good bit of play from Ferguson as well to win it. And then I don't know what happened then. We've gone from a team that looks so good to a team that has never seen each other before. It's like Lewis Dunk has been training down at Whitehawk or something the last few weeks, and we just look half the team. I don't know what's going on. Lewis Dunk completely gives it away. And you know what I'm like? I'd never slate Dunk. But that was awful. I think it was just such a soft goal to give away, and you put yourself under such unnecessary pressure. And all 20 Tottenham fans that stayed to see it as well. Great moment for them, really. The worst support I've seen at the Amex, I think, in ages. That's awful, that was. Cleared off after 4-0. Awful, embarrassing support from Tottenham. All 20 of them that did stay. That was just poor, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden, we're under pressure, aren't we, Adam?
Sorry, I was just on mute there. Yeah, it's annoying because you sort of... When we were 4-0 up, I was thinking, this is quality, they're not in the game at all. And then as soon as we started, I remember seeing him down the other end, knocking it around the back, and I was thinking, oh God, I just remember, Brighton don't keep clean sheets, do they? And then as soon as I thought that, all hell broke loose, and I can't even remember what happened. But it was just typical. And then the fact the second one came pretty quickly afterwards, I think it really, really shocked the Amex, because I think, up until that point, up until, 80 minutes, we probably weren't far away from like the Olays coming out, and everyone was absolutely loving it. That final 10, 15 minutes, it suddenly just became like the Amex was just like stunned. And I think it kind of really killed the momentum. It kind of meant that when full time came, it was a bit of a weird feeling, because it was like, this is amazing, what a win. But like, that was a bit hairy towards the end. I think, as De Zerbi said at full time, and it's the classic thing, Potter used to say it as well, when you play that way, and De Zerbi described it as like when you show character in possession, when you show confidence, when you want to, play that way, you're gonna kind of make mistakes. So I guess it's good when you do it when you're 4-0 up, as opposed to like kind of, a 0-0 or something. But typical Brighton, and I think we're just all having to accept that that's just like par for the course now with De Zerbi, to be honest.
Yeah, we will never keep a clean sheet again, will we, man? As you say, Adam, we were laying. They were there for the killing, I thought. 5-6 was on the cards after that fourth. They were rattled. But, Maz, we just, I can't even describe it. We looked like we've literally never seen each other before. As I said, it was so weird.
Yeah, it was, you're talking about, the Olays and stuff like that. I actually shouted out, I was like, I want five. And then some kid in front of me goes, I want eight. And I was like, fair enough. We were on course to do that. But yeah, no, like you said, we had that just weird, like, yeah, that last 15 minutes was just so bizarre. Because I remember just everyone around me like getting super nervous. And I was like, guys, come on, like, have a bit of faith. You know, we're 4-2 up here. And like, yeah, at 4-2, everyone was like, yeah, we could blow this up. You know, this could be 4-4. And I was like, come on, let's have a little bit of faith. I know we weren't playing the best and we look scared in possession. I think that's what sort of worried me a little bit. We looked very not confident in possession. We kept giving the ball away. We kept getting dispossessed. Yeah, I don't know what exactly had happened. I don't know what the mentality shift was and why that happened. I know maybe it was the energy of, you know, the crowd sort of going, oh, like, are we in a bit of trouble? And maybe that then transferred to the players. I don't know. But yeah, we were very sloppy in possession. We got dispossessed a lot. And yeah, I think it was only in the last, what, 5 minutes of added time or 4 minutes of added time where we sort of looked a little bit more comfortable and didn't look too much under threat. And ultimately, Spurs were just wasteful, weren't they? I remember Kulusevski had that like shot which went over the bar right towards the end. And like, oh, they just, even when they had like half chances, they just weren't taking advantage of them. And I know Richarlison hit the post, but he was so wasteful. And yeah, I just think going forward, Son, Richarlison, Kulusevski were just pretty much ineffective. And also credit to our defence for contributing to that. But then, yeah, the Valise, Navidad, and who was the other one he scored? Ben Davis as well. Again, a scrappy goal.
Ben Davis.
So yeah, it was just poor, really.
Yeah, man, I think it's so Davis typical. That guy, Valise guy, when he came on, I said, who is that? I have no idea who that is. I said, I've never heard of him in my life. And I said, now that I've said that, he's going to score, isn't he? And then he did. I said, that's brilliant. And then you give it to, I didn't even realise it was Ben Davis that scored, to be fair. I didn't really care. As you say, it's just, you get rattled by that. And then it's so typical Brighton. So typical Brighton to almost throw it away. And was there a point?
I also forgot about the Jason Steele save as well. You know, when it was that sort of scramble in the box Steele ended up saving. And that was, I think that was to make it 4-3, right? So that's a huge moment, I think, in the game. It just all got a bit mad. I don't know what happened, but thankfully we got
last 15.
Yeah, to be fair to him, that was a big save.
Everyone's heart rate's just high. Yeah, sorry, Adam. I think we clashed with like timings there. Is it typical Riverside?
My delay is so bad.
We haven't out with them, don't worry. Yeah, I mean, you can see our pain now, mate. Like, honestly, the viewers that watch and they comment, they say, oh, why do you talk over each other, guys? Honestly, it's difficult. But yeah, with last 15, everyone's heart rates are through the roof. If you probably had like a Fitbit or an Apple Watch on, you're probably getting notifications. But it was a tough one. But we got through it. Was there a genuine point? I start with you, Adam. Was there a genuine point where you actually thought, we're going to throw this away and this is going to go to 4-4? Or were you quietly confident that we'd be all right?
I was. It's weird. I think I knew we'd win. Because once you're 4-0 up, I mean, it would be mental. But I think it was a moment, like, it'd be 9 minutes of added time. It was 90. Yeah, it was like 94 minutes on the clock. And I was just thinking, like, can we get through like the remaining like 5 minutes of this? And that was the moment. And then suddenly the next time I looked at the clock, it was like 98 minutes. I was like, okay, we're fine now. But there was a bit of a moment, but I think, I don't think, as Matt said, like, you got to have a bit of faith, like 4-2, you know, you're not going to concede two goals in like 10 minutes, you wouldn't think.
I mean, God, be honest, mate. I was turning. I was like, what are we doing? I think when the second one went in, I think I had the biggest freak out on the whole row. I was like, what is going on? I genuinely thought we were throwing it away and this was going to be like a Reading. Was it Reading or Newcastle, wasn't it, against Arsenal? And they just completely capitulated at 4-0 up. And I thought we were having a repeat. And I mean, Mads, were you the same? Did you think we were going to throw it away? Because nine minutes is a long time.
There was a 30-second bit where we conceded the second goal. And there was like a 30-second window where I thought, shit, is this going to happen? Are we actually going to throw away a 4-0 lead? I remember going around, saying my man was like, relax, lads, we can all go home, don't worry about it. At 4-2, I was like, yeah, we're all good. I won't lie, there was a 30-second to a minute window where I thought, could we throw this away? But then I thought, yeah, it's just not enough time. And also, what gave me sort of hope and solace was that The only way we were going to concede another two goals to make it four or three to make it 5-4 was stuff that, like, only us, basically, we were our worst enemy, right? Like you said, you mentioned Dunk, you know, being poor for the goal. I felt like we were our worst enemy. So the only way they were going to score was by us being bad and, you know, us giving things away. Like going forward, I thought Spurs were really, really poor. I think they created much at all. Like I said, there was a few flashes of moments where I thought, okay, yeah, like Brennan Johnson when he was through and Richarlison hitting the post. But apart from that, they didn't really offer much. So yeah, I'll be honest. I was quite confident. I was quietly confident. But of course, there was that little bit of uncertainty and concern.
I don't know. I honestly, when it got to about 5 minutes left, I said, okay, 5 minutes, two goals, less likely. And then I'll say it because there's a guy that doesn't normally sit there. We were like, okay, 2 minutes, two goals, probably. I mean, that's 120 seconds. They're probably not going to get two goals in 120 seconds. Said maybe at 5 minutes they could have done. It's really bad, isn't it, our football? I look at the seconds. It's a bit like catch the trader that you think, okay, I've got 30 seconds to get to the next platform. I'll be all right. But yeah, it's similar sort of mentality in it. You're just like watching the seconds go, and it just seems to drag. And I don't know why you do it. And you're just saying to yourself, I hate football. I hate football. I can't deal with this. And then you get through it. And that's just what it's like being a football fan. And everything's great again. The songs come on and it's brilliant. And it's like nothing's happened for the last 5 minutes. You've been through hell and back. And then everything's great. It's such a weird sport, honestly. Nothing can do it to you quite like the beautiful game. But yeah, that's what makes it great, I suppose. But the moment at full time, Adam, I mean, we haven't had that in so long. I mean, it genuinely feels like so long, doesn't it, since everyone was celebrating, you know, the players doing that big lap of the pitch, and it's actually surprisingly people still at the end. And that's good, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a nice moment with the squad and the club.
Yeah, completely. And like, you know, back to you saying about the Spurs fans, like the fact they all left on like 65 minutes, like what a joke that was. And then as soon as like they scored a goal or two, you suddenly started seeing like a couple of people coming back. I don't know whether people had just gone to the concourse to have like a drink or something, but it was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, like full time was great. I think the only other time in the last few months, I think, would be the Marseille game, you know, when we finished top of the Europa League group, and that was a real moment, like, you know, that felt amazing. I remember getting some video of that and just thinking, oh, this is sick. But in the league, I think it's been a while. Like, it's probably not been since like the start of the season, like maybe when we like beat Newcastle or something like that, the Amex, where everyone's really, really kind of, you know, had that moment. It's been nice, you know. And it's like you say, like you kind of sat there, you know, shaking, worrying about the whistle blowing, and then next thing you know, Freed from Desire's playing and it's all good and the whole situation's fine and you got the points. Do you know what I mean?
It's a roller coaster, isn't it? It's an absolute roller coaster. But yeah, it's a long trip back to Hayward's Heath for the Spurs fans, to be fair. So they had a long way to get back home. they live around the corner, don't they, these big six boys. But yeah, Maz, full-time result. The relief is... it's immeasurable, to say the least.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. And I think for me, the best thing about it was, and we've mentioned it a few times now, it was just the manner of the performance, especially in the first half. Like, we looked back to, you know, the Brighton, the pinnacle of Brighton, like, as fans, we've seen how good we can be. And I think that first half really for me was like, yeah, wow, like, we're back. You know, we're the Brighton of old, like dominating possession, actually creating chances, scoring goals, not just creating chances and, you know, dominating possession and not scoring goals. Also backing it up, you know, going into that first half was just, I was so proud of how well we were and obviously how well we played. And then the second half, of course, there was a few moments where we weren't so great. But yeah, and they come full time. I was like, do you know what? That was such a good performance. And I'm so happy that, you know, we got that win. It's such a big win as well against who a lot of people tipped at the beginning of the season to be title challengers in Spurs. And I know we were both injury ravaged and,
fashion,
you know, both teams. Yeah, exactly. Very Spursy of them. But yeah, it was, yeah, such a great release of emotions. And yeah, I remember just literally going up the concourse, seeing Adam, like just being in such a like happy mood. And everyone around me was just dancing, swinging their, you know, swinging their scarves. And it was, yeah, it was just a really good feel. feel good moment. And I want more of those moments throughout the season. I don't want that. I feel like we've been very inconsistent so far this season. I want a bit of consistency going forward. And I think that's the big thing for me. Just now, can we kick on and just really have a good run now? And hopefully get a clean sheet at some point as well.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? I mean, I wouldn't hold your breath, mate, to be fair on that one. But yeah, the one thing I'd say on the Zerbi thing is, I think he said pretty much similar to me at the press conference yesterday, day before, actually, sorry. And he said about the fact that sometimes a weaker team is a better team in that, you know, you've got, it's more about mentality than characteristic. He said, for example, losing Caicedo, you know, obviously he's a fantastic player, losing McCullough, a great player, whatever. But when you lose them, you've then got people that can step in good time. Don't get wrong, they'll be fine. But he said, when you look at Europa League, we've pretty much kept a clean sheet in the last four, I think. And then you look at the Premier League, obviously we can't keep a clean sheet for anything. And he puts it down to mentality. And, you know, we prove we can keep clean sheets. We prove we can do that. We prove we know how to defend. We know how to, of course we do. We've got great individuals. And I think that's the weird thing is about, obviously, I don't know, at what point does the mentality change? Is it you get your first one, then it starts? I don't know. But I think maybe the fact we've got such a weakened side, if you like, we've got Milner on left wing, it almost makes it a bit better. I don't know about you, Adam, if you agree with it, but they're fighting to be in that team. They're fighting to keep their place. And, you know, there's more opportunities across the board, isn't there?
Yeah, completely. And I think, like, it's like you say, you know, when you're going into that game with no fullbacks, no wingers, you know, at least like natural wingers or fullbacks, I think the players, you know, you have to come up with a game plan, don't you? You have to come up with a way to play and you have to do something a bit different. And I think De Zerbi, I might be getting the quote slightly wrong here, but the quote was something like, you know, I'm a good coach, but, you know, we had to find a way to kind of do something different here today because we didn't have the players for it. And I think when you have that, it's like back in the day, like I remember Jose Mourinho, like when Chelsea won the league, it's like you create that siege mentality that everyone's against you, the refs are against you. And it's like here, it's like if we're going into like, again, the team talks like, listen, boys, we're going to have to be together. We've got no players. We've got loads of injuries. You've got to find that spirit. You've got to find that mentality. Players have got to step up. Players like Buonanotte have to step up. And I think he has the last couple of games, to be fair to the bloke. And you have to find new ways of playing. And it's like you say, it's much more of a mentality thing than it is about personnel or players. I think with the clean sheet thing, I think it's a bit weird. And I think we do need to sort it out because I think it might end up catching up with us because you can only kind of win games 4-3 or like 5-4 so often. And like towards the end of that game last night, it was a bit like a basketball match with, like, you know, it was down our end, then back up their end, and then down our end and back up their end. And like, that's just not really a way to kind of consistently do well. I don't know, maybe that's a little bit critical. And I think, you know, the trade-off is that you have unbelievable football and you get to see some of the football and the confidence of play that we were seeing last night. But I think we do need to sort that out.
Yeah, I agree. Maz, any further thoughts really on not just that, but the mentality of the squad? He said that he thinks the mentality is the strongest it's ever been since he's been at the club. And that just doesn't apply to the players, but the club, the fans, you know, everyone involved. He thinks that, you know, everyone's finally getting onto the same sort of level of thinking, which has been hard to win over, hasn't it, really?
Yeah. I think, yeah, no, definitely. And I think a really key thing, I think, for that personally, I think just looking just last night, we see it game in, game out, but just focus on last night. Like, I remember Adam Lallana on the side just literally barking orders and, like, you know, kept communicating with the players. And I think when you've got players like him, Welbeck, Milner, you know, really experienced players that have pretty much won everything, nearly, won a lot of trophies, got that elite mentality. And then you've got a coach like De Zerbi, and again, talking to De Zerbi, like, he's a madman on that touchline. The way he's so passionate, even when, like, it's something so minuscule that's happened, he'll, like, berate his assistant coaches and be like, right, why didn't we do that? Like, what happened there? Why did that go wrong? And I think when you've got the mentality monsters of De Zerbi, Lallana, Milner, Welbeck, I think it's just natural that will transpire through the squad. And I think we've really seen that. Yeah, especially when, you know, the chips are down, so to speak, and you're losing players. We've got, what, 11 injuries now, including the two yesterday. So when the chips are down and you're thinking, right, we need, you know, we need those leaders. And I think that's when you see those people step up, the Zerbis, the Lallanas, the Milners, the Welbecks. And yeah, I think we need them just to keep us going through. And I think they've done a pretty good job so far. I just want us to be more consistent. I think hopefully with that mentality change, can we just be a bit more consistent with performances and results?
And I think also...
I think when you're in bad form... Oh, go on.
Sorry, mate. I remember towards the end of last season, De Zerbi, I think it might have been when Europe was looking a little bit touch and go, maybe kind of like March last season. I remember De Zerbi talking quite a lot about the mentality of the squad and saying that we got some fantastic players, but we do need to improve on our mentality a little bit. And I think, you know, I think that is something that, that he's done. I think certainly with recruitment, I think people probably were questioning the Milner signing a little bit. And I think... You know, it's an interesting one because, like, I think last night was his best game he'd had, and I don't think he has been brilliant, if we're being completely honest, up until this point. But I think just what he brings to the squad, you know, him, Lallana, as you say, Maz, Welbeck, like, there's so many, Dunkey, like, all of them, like, the mentality in that squad will just be unbelievable. And you see, there was a clip, I see your social actually put out this morning, it was like an Amazon Prime video of Billy Gilmore and Lewis Dunk doing impressions of people in the squad. And Billy Gilmore's impression of James Milner was like, going, yeah, come on, boys, it's fucking getting, you know, like, yeah. Basically just making out that he's like a proper really leader. Point. And like, it's just like, it's just good to have those players, isn't it? Nothing will faze them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you're in bad form, it's that, isn't it? You're looking at every game and it's bad. You can't think of, you know, we've got to get through this game, we've got to get through this game. Whereas you have that week's break, you're refreshed and that's it. You're back on it. And that's, I think, what we saw last night. But no, all good. Very good. I'm very happy. Apart from the last 15, but, you know, we can forget about that if you put the positive hats on. It's good to have the Albion back. It's good to be back on this podcast, celebrating goals, celebrating wins, and not being downbeat about referees and downbeat about the way we've somehow not won a game or whatever. So, no, it's been an absolute pleasure, boys. I know it wasn't too much of a chore for you both to come on this morning anyway, because of the result. But yeah, Adam, thank you for joining us, mate. Last minute step in, as always.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Of course, of always coming on. And no worries, mate. And yeah, we'll see you. Who's next one? We've got West Ham. So we'll see you actually in a new year.
West Ham.
This will be the final podcast, probably, unless we get a preview up beforehand, of 2023, which is absolutely insane. So thank you all for the support over the last year again. On to the next one. And yeah, I'll be in the back. And so is Purvis' opinion. Yeah, see you soon. Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.